Welcome to Poolesville Presbyterian Church. We are located in the town of Poolesville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolesville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. In his message titled, Who Will Tell the Story?, Reverend Derek Longbreak tells us that our lives have changed because Jesus came to this world. We should serve him and live the way that he taught us to live. He brings peace and hope to our fears and doubts. Let us now join Reverend Longbreak as he explains God's word.
I'm going to invite you to be seated. We'll join together first in the prayer of confession, followed by some moments for silent personal confession. Let us join together. God of grace and truth, in Jesus Christ you came among us, a light shining in darkness. We confess that we have not welcomed the light or trusted good news to be good. We have closed our eyes to glory in our midst, expecting little and hoping for less. Forgive our doubt and renew our hope so that we may receive the fullness of your grace and live in the truth of Christ the Lord. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for the forgiveness that you offer and for the peace that you give to us in the midst of the knowledge of our failings, in the midst of the knowledge of our fears driving our actions and our doubts leading. Renew us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please join me now in the assurance of pardon. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel?
Jesus Christ, we are forgiven.
Amen. Our next scripture reading is from Luke chapter 2. And you'll notice that these readings are often the same readings that are done on Christmas Eve. And I wasn't even sure if they would be the same ones that you had read in your church on Christmas Eve as well. Part of this is we shorten Christmas down to one evening oftentimes, maybe an extra day, but especially in the church. This is a big deal, celebration for us. And so rather than just reading some of these scriptures once and then not coming back until the next year, we'll have an opportunity to hear again what we call the Christmas story. So let us listen for the word of God from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region, there were shepherds living in their fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. It's the word of the Lord. So it was one day, a few decades ago. This was back when there was conflict, if you remember it, in Northern Ireland between the Irish and the British and between the Protestants and the Catholics. And it seemed like fighting, and it wasn't right out in front, but there was people dying and bombings happening, and it seemed like that there would never be peace. And it was during this time, in the midst of that fear, where you wouldn't know if you were driving down the street one day, you might be shot at or a bombing might happen. It was in the midst of these doubts that peace could be possible. It was in the midst of a daily life of high unemployment and repressive laws trying to control the violence that a getaway car driven by an Irish Republican Army gunman lost control when its driver was fatally shot by a British soldier. An Irish woman heard the sound of the car smashing into an iron fence and went to investigate. And she found two children dead, a third dying near their injured mother. And the story goes that she held the body of one of the broken children in her arms, and she was shocked and angry. And after the shock wore off, she went into the streets in the middle of the night screaming, "What kind of people have we become?" And then she went door to door and in 48 hours got 6,000 people to sign a petition for peace. What is it that could, what could happen that would spur us beyond our acceptance of whatever life brings? What could happen that could move us beyond the truce we have with our own fears? What could happen that would take us beyond letting our doubts about us being able to make any difference? Well, I'll give you a hint. It involves a child, too. It was another day, one day at couple thousand years ago, this time, in the midst of their fears and doubts, the lives of Mary and Joseph and the lives of some shepherds were confronted and changed by the birth of Jesus. Mary and Joseph had traveled to Bethlehem. You see, they had to go there because the Romans, who were occupying the territory, had dictated that they must be registered. They were forced to travel away from home while Mary was pregnant. they were forced to go somewhere where Mary would give birth in a place that she didn't have control over. In fact, Mary and Joseph, if you think about it, were just another young couple experiencing poverty and obscurity. Well, even though they didn't really matter in the scope of the larger world, they personally had fears about the upcoming birth. What would it be like? Would Mary and the baby survive? It's quite probable at that time that 30 to 40% of children died before the age of one. And Mary herself was not guaranteed well-being. Even now, the maternal mortality rate in Afghanistan is around 1 in 100. And so it was probably much higher back then. So this baby would be born in unpromising circumstances, and it turns out in a place where animals feed. When the baby was delivered, Mary and Joseph faced doubts about, is this baby lying here in a feed trough for animals really who the angel told us? I think we can imagine them thinking, we're too ordinary to be connected with Emmanuel, God with us. How can this baby we see in front of us be the one who would save people from their sins? I think we share those same doubts. We're too ordinary to really make a difference, to really have God come and use us in the world. How can this baby we hear about and read about really be someone that changes the world, that changes our lives? Well, Mary and Joseph were not the only ones living with doubts and fears. There were shepherds near Bethlehem living out in the fields. And shepherds were ordinary people who worked hard. And shepherds were also considered lower class. They had a bad reputation because their jobs kept them from observing the religious law. So religious people looked down on them. They were often social outcasts. I mean, you figure they were around animals all day, so they probably smelled bad. They lived under the other people's assumptions, like it's better that they're out of sight and out of mind. Their life was placed on the margins of society, literally. Well, we have these shepherds doing their thing, and the routine of their living is interrupted by an angel. And the shepherds are terrified. They're afraid of this unknown that has burst into their lives. Oftentimes, we're more comfortable living our lives as we know it, even if it's not what we want, because we're afraid of the unknown. Well, the shepherds were also afraid about whether they measured up to God's standards. Here's an angel of the Lord coming to them, and they're not religious people. Well, they heard the message of the angel that there is good news of great joy. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. Sure. Yeah, that's great. They had doubts. If this is such great news, why are you telling us? If it's really great news, you should be going and telling the religious people, the people who deserve to hear about it. You really expect us to believe that there's a baby in a manger, in a feed box for animals, who's more important than the Roman emperor? You mean there's a baby who is going to be God with us, who's in a manger? Well, how will we find him anyway? Jesus came in the midst of fears and doubts. He came in the midst of the fears and doubts of a young couple. He came in the midst of the fears and the doubts of a group of people who are marginalized. Jesus comes into the midst of our fears and doubts. Well, the birth of Jesus moved the shepherds and Mary and Joseph beyond their fears and doubts. It didn't let them stay there. The birth of Jesus shook them from their indifferent, self-focused living. Well, the shepherds dropped their work. They went to find this baby the angels had told them about. And I bet you noticed they weren't given any address either. So they were just told that there was a baby in a manger wrapped in bands of cloth. So they run into town, and this meant that when they went into town, they knocked on doors or barn doors or in the middle of the night. I think that left them open to people laughing at them. It left them open to people getting angry at them for disturbing their sleep. Well, they eventually found the baby, and when they found the baby, the shepherds told this couple that they had never met before what the angel had said about their child. They had to open themselves up to say, this baby lying in the feed box for animals is a savior. They didn't know if the couple would think they were crazy. But instead, the shepherds ended up bringing confirmation to Mary and Joseph that this birth will change their lives, that Jesus is indeed Savior, Christ, and Lord, as they had been told. So Mary heard these words, and she thought about them deeply. Mary had to reassess what her life would now be like with this child, the Messiah, in her life. The shepherds' lives were changed. They went back out into the streets, knocking on doors, waking people up to tell them that the Messiah had been born. Doubts and fears could no longer hold them back from glorifying God. Just as that Irish woman could not walk away from the broken children, inactive, without doing something, the shepherds, when they leave Jesus, they can't just walk quietly away and not do anything and pretend like nothing has happened. The shepherds go door to door and shout in the streets the glory of God. Well, in some countries, their tradition is that they leave the church on Christmas Day and they march out in the streets of town, having a parade proclaiming the birth of Jesus. Now, that's not what we do. But what is it that we do when we walk away from the manger on Christmas Eve? Today, in the very midst of our fears and our doubts, our lives are confronted again by what happened in Bethlehem. Our lives are changed because Jesus is born in us as we believe he is Lord, Messiah, and Savior. And his birth moves us beyond fear, beyond doubt, beyond an indifferent living, beyond a contentment with things as they are. Jesus transforms how we live. His birth shifts the focus from our own troubles to God's salvation. Our troubles are now secondary to our focus on Jesus and serving him, on joining Jesus in the healing that he brings the world. Jesus' birth shifts our energy from being consumed with our temporary, immediate needs and the feelings that seem so important to us in the moment. His birth shifts our energy to looking at the bigger picture of the kingdom of God in the world. You see, Jesus is our anchor. He's our anchor for reliable hope. dependable promises and anticipations that are more than fulfilled. His birth shifts our self-promotion to proclamation to others about Jesus and how Jesus brings peace in the midst of life, how Jesus brings peace in the midst of fear and doubt. I'm sure you know someone who's lonely, who's afraid, who has doubts about what they're worth. Jesus is asking us to share peace with them, to bring hope into their lives, to bring this life-changing truth that lying in a manger is a Savior who is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. This Jesus changes the world, transforms lives, brings light into darkness, increases joy, and brings endless peace. We can't leave the manger unchanged. So how will we glorify God? How will we, as I ask the kids, how will we celebrate Christmas and the salvation we've discovered in Jesus Christ? Who will we tell? Let us pray. I'm so grateful, Lord, that you know us. You know us in our ordinariness. You know us in all of our fears. You know us in the amazing talents and abilities you've given us. You know us when we're not sure what to do. You know us when we're charging ahead following you. We're grateful you know us and that you're with us in the midst of all of that. Guide us as we continue to follow you, or as we look to follow you again. Show us how to bring your hope, your light, and your message of new life in this world that's broken and hurting. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Longbreak, for an inspiring message. The congregation of Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Our fears and our doubts are real, but they do not need to control our lives. Now may the God of peace, who raised from the dead our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you all and equip us all together to do every good thing in his will. Alleluia. Amen. Amen.